Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Please be seated. George Bernard was struggling with personal problems that were causing him a great deal of trouble and anguish. And in his suffering, his mind returned again and again to Christ's anguish on the cross. The cross that he pictured was not ornate or pretty or gold or silver. It was a rough, splintery thing stained with gore. You see, George Bernard was under the influence of our text for the day, John 3:16. I saw the Christ of the cross, he said later. It's as if I were seeing John 3:16 leave the printed page, take form, and act out the meaning of redemption. And so, in a room in Albion, Michigan, Bernard sat down and he wrote a tune. And he struggled for weeks to set words to the melody that he had written. And then Bernard, a Methodist evangelist, he was scheduled to preach a series of messages in New York. And he found himself focusing on the cross. And the theme of the cross grew increasingly more urgent to him. And he struggled once more with the words to his hymn. And this time, the lines came. He later told a friend, I sat down and immediately was able to rewrite the stanzas of the song without so much as one word failing to fall into place. He says, I called my wife, took out my guitar, and sang the completed song to her. And she was thrilled. And so in June 1913, George Bernard introduced the new hymn. And the words went like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And face it, you knew it. You could have said the words right along with me. But the old rugged cross became one of the most popular hymns of the 20th century. And I think John 3:16 has had that effect on many people. And that's why, even though our lesson from the Gospels for the day is John 3:1 to 17, we're just going to focus our attention on this one verse. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in miniature. Or I've also heard it put out or spoken of as the gospel in a nutshell. You know, that it contains everything. You know, in other words, if all you had of the New Testament was this one verse, it would be enough to save your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, we've heard this beautiful verse so often that we're tempted to take it for granted. But have you ever thought what it would mean if you changed just one or two key words in the sentence? Let's change one verb, for God so rejected the world. That makes a big difference in the sentence, doesn't it? Or it could read, for God so loved nice people. But it doesn't read that way either. It says, for God so loved the world. You know what? That's everybody. It's the rich, the poor, the beautiful, the ugly, the saint, the sinner. It's you and me. Or maybe we could tinker with the second half of the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave it a stern warning. You know, you look through the Old Testament, and many times God gave stern warnings. But they rarely did much good. The people still went their own way. And nothing much made a difference until God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This morning we're going to spend some time with this little verse, John 3:16. Listen to it again. Consider what a world of difference it would make if even one word were changed. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Maybe one other change. Instead of the words, the world, I invite you to place your name there. For God so loved. Do you realize that what God did, he did for you? That even if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have still gone through everything that he endured for your sake. This week, we're focusing on God's love. And there's nothing in this entire universe that can compare with God's love. And the verse begins by announcing that God loved us all of us, even before we loved him. There's another place in John's writing in which he says something profound about love. This is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And we read these powerful words. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then in verse 10, he adds, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I mean, think about those words for a moment. Whoever does not love does not know God. My friends, this is what the gospel is all about, love. Whoever does not love does not know God, says St. John. Why? Because God is love. You see, God is the real measure of love. And it's only by God's Spirit that we are able to know and share real love. God loved us. Do you see, understand that God loved us before we were even capable of loving him in return? I mean, think about it. That's always a risk, isn't it? Being the one who expresses love first. A risk to put your heart out there and to hope that that other person feels the same way about you. But God didn't wait for us to love him. God knew that we would break his heart. And God loved us knowing full well that we would never be able to return his love. His love was truly unconditional. Notice that John 3:16 doesn't say, "For God so loved good people who loved God back." It says, "God so loved the world." And no limitations, no exclusions, no maybes, no fine print. Let me ask you, are you a part of this world? Then you are completely lovable in God's eyes. You see, God loved us first, and that's the first thing that we need to see. And here's the second, that this verse tells us just how much God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his most precious gift, his son. I mean, it's easy to say, "I love you." Or we talk about love, I say, "Well, I love pizza, and I love football, and I love, well, all kinds of things that you could come up with." And we use the word pretty lightly sometimes. And sometimes when we say, "I love you" to someone, we even mean it. But you know what? It's a different thing to put love into action. To give up your own life to ensure that others could live. Is there any greater love than this? You see, God loved us first. God loved us enough that he gave his one and only son. But why did he give his son? You know the answer. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To be honest, God had a million reasons to condemn the world, but he didn't. God saved the world by giving his absolute greatest gift that he could give. And God made us a promise that whoever believes, yes, whoever believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ, will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.